Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Jesus awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this, his holy word. Amen. Please pray with me. Father God, we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up, and may everything that is said, heard, and understood bring glory to you. In our Savior's name, amen. So far this Advent season, we've looked at two of four encounters with angels and their declaration, "Do not be afraid." 2 weeks ago, we took a look at the concept of more hope by looking at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And there we saw that fear can lead us to feel despair and how we need hope to be able to move forward. And last week, we looked at the concept of more peace by looking at the story of Gabriel's appearance to Mary, where we saw that fear can lead us to be in denial and how we need to find peace in order to take and move forward. This week, we look at the angel's appearance to Joseph after he found out that Mary was pregnant. So the scripture today comes shortly after Joseph has learned that Mary is pregnant. And Joseph is puzzled. How can this be? Mary is supposed to be a virgin. And while we are betrothed, we have not yet done the second part and actually got married, so we haven't had relations yet. But she's pregnant. How can this be? Well, a couple things probably were going through Joseph's mind. The first of which is, Mary is crazy. Maybe she just thinks that she is pregnant. I'm pretty sure that his dad had informed Joseph that being a bit crazy is just part of a woman's makeup, but does he really want to have to deal with this level of craziness? Secondly, he probably was thinking that Mary had been unfaithful, that Mary had committed adultery, that she had had relations with another man, and she was simply trying to cover up this fact and trying to hide it off and pass it off as being a miraculous pregnancy from the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm pretty sure that Joseph was asking himself, does he really want to have to deal with this? Lastly, he probably considered that Mary was indeed telling the truth. That maybe what Mary was saying was true, that she had been visited by an angel and had become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, which would mean that Joseph would need to be that baby's father. And I think he thought to himself, I'm just a simple carpenter. I'm a simple man. How can I be the father to the Son of God? In any case, whatever Joseph was thinking, Joseph was worried about the future. He knew that this could take and it could ruin his reputation. That it could ruin his life. And I think he was also worried about Mary and the effect that this all was going to have on her life. And that if he goes through this marriage and the truth comes out, that the damage to Mary and to her reputation would be amplified, would be greater. So Joseph decides that the best thing to do is quietly to break their engagement, which at that time was the same thing as getting a divorce. Betrothment was a serious thing in the Jewish lifestyle. If you got betrothed to one another, it was binding, much like our actual marriage ceremony. And then the second part of it was actually going through with the marriage. So Joseph decides that it's much better just to do this quietly. Now, it does say that, you know, Joseph was a righteous man, that he knew his law, he knew the scripture, he knew the Torah. And the reality is that it would have been much, much better for Joseph if he makes a big deal about this, if he makes a spectacle of it. If he shifts the blame over to Mary and saves his reputation and his standing in the community, it's all her fault. I'm just an innocent bystander and I have nothing, I want nothing to do with this or with this woman. The thing is that Joseph also knew that in that case, that it was highly likely that Mary was going to be stoned for committing adultery, because that was the punishment for committing adultery, was to be killed by stoning. But I think that even though these things were going on, I still think that Joseph did still have love, and that he still cared about Mary. And he does, and he chooses to do things as quietly as possible instead of seeking retribution. Worry is us trying to figure out how to prevent something from happening in the future. We think about all of the possible things that can happen, and we try to figure out, all right, how can I prevent all of these things from happening? Pure worry is never a good thing. Jesus speaks about not worrying and instead having faith that God will take care of us. But the more and the harder that we worry, the more harm comes from it. Someone that suffers from depression and anxiety many times will experience what is unhelpful thinking, also called cognitive distortions. Two of these are jumping to conclusions, also called mind reading, and the other is called fortune telling. In both cases, a person gets themselves into a cycle of what-ifs and believing that something specific is going to actually happen. What if the doctor gives me bad news? What if I can't complete this project at work on time? What if I don't complete it correctly? My cholesterol is going to be sky high the next time that I get it tested. And my spouse isn't going to love me anymore after I have done such and such. In this case, the person becomes so focused on their worries that they miss out on what is going on in the present. And even if you're not depressed or experience anxiety, we can still fall into this, where we focus on the worries to the detriment of what's going on in our lives right now, right at this second. We miss the joy of what is occurring now and miss the opportunities of being fully present with the people that are around us, our family, our friends, our other loved ones. When we rob ourselves of the joy around us, we are robbing the world of the possible joy that we can take and create and that we can spread to the world. So, getting back to the story, Joseph has decided to quietly dismiss Mary, divorce her, and break the engagement. And then Joseph lies down to sleep, and an angel comes to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, I'm quite sure that Joseph, because he did know his Torah, knew about the prophecy of a virgin conceiving, bearing a son, and that he would be named Emmanuel. And that he knew of the joy that would come with that virgin birth. And I think when he woke up, he was able to look past his worries, look past his fears, and he understood and he saw the joy that was coming in the future. He understood that the angel brought an invitation to be part of the story just like the angel brought that same invitation to Zechariah and Elizabeth and to Mary. God is going to do thus and such, and he wants you to be part of it. Did this totally take away all of Joseph's worry? I don't think that it did. I still think that there was still a bit of worry within him. He had some concerns about how things were going to go, but he understood, again, he understood that joy that was coming. This, along with his hope for the future and his coming to peace with what was going to happen, was able to move him past his fears and into the future. A little bit of worry is a good thing when it's driven by having a concern and wanting to find a way forward. But again, if the worry takes over, we miss out on the now. We miss out on the joy that we can receive and the joy that we can take and we can spread. So far this Advent, we have said, we have acknowledged that we are going to, as we go through life, that we indeed are going to experience doubt and fear. We will experience denial to try to shield ourselves from the troubles that we may face. And today, we acknowledge the fact that we are going to take and experience worry. And we also see this very same doubt, fear, denial, and worry that we have in the people around us. And in these times, let us remember that we carry God's hope, God's peace, and God's joy within us. And by this hope, and by this peace, and by this joy, we can move past our fears and we can help others to do likewise. We can be the messengers of hope, of peace, and of joy that God would have us to be. Do not be afraid. Amen.